We'll start with the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help me to carry your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, hi, Susie. We are on acceptance was the answer. We were in the four-step doing inventory, and Wednesday night we had a few new people come, and I just didn't think we should start with sex inventory because they were new in a big book study, but we'll pick up that on Wednesday. So we started acceptance was the answer chapter. We covered half of it. This chapter was originally Dr. Alcoholic Addict. It was really, when I read it, I really identified, not because I was a physician, but because of the way he thought. And there's so much wisdom in here, and I bought his book. His name was Dr. Paul O, and he was from California, and after he sobered up, he started a treatment center at Palm Springs for many years, and he died years ago. But he wrote a book, You Can't Make Me Angry. And I read that and I said, wow, anger is a choice. And here we're going to pick up on page 414 and just a few lines. He starts out talking about his drinking and his using and how completely unmanageable his life was. And we were laughing at it, but we're laughing because we identified, right, Mark? Because his life was such a mess. And he eventually goes to the Mayo Clinic and takes his wife there because he knows there's something seriously wrong with her. And what happens is they send her home and they put him in the locked psych ward. And he didn't appreciate that. And then he's in the hospital and he's talking about, on 414, there's a line there. And he says, life keeps getting simpler. He's looking back forward through his story here. And he had this old idea that he wanted to reverse. And I had it too, and I think other people here, that if I took care of the first paragraph in 414, if I took care of the internal environment via the 12 steps, let the external environment take care of itself. Now, my whole life I lived under the delusion that I would rest satisfaction, happiness, if I just managed the outside world well. And that was going to fix my internal world. And the problem with my internal world was because I had a spiritual separation from God. And so it never worked. And I didn't realize that till I came in here. And it took me a while to understand that and understand what they're saying. But this really helped me. And then on he talks about how they send somebody from AA and the guy comes in and he's laughing. Hi, I'm Frank from AA. And he says, wow, you know, what are they, you know, he seems so happy to just be an alcoholic. And then he went to a meeting and then the psychiatrist showed interest in him and what he was thinking. And then he got discharged and then he started going to meetings with his wife. And he says at the end on 415, he was wondering why people bragged that they weren't drinking. And then he says, of course, he was still drinking. And then he says in parentheses, today there's absolutely nothing in the world more important to me than keeping this alcoholic sober, because if we start to drink, things turn to crap pretty quickly. And the spiritual malady is just destroys us, because we can't treat the spiritual malady drinking, can we? No. And not taking a drink is by far the most important thing I do each day. And then he says, it seemed that all the meetings was drinking, 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 and it made him thirsty. And he wanted to talk about his big problems. And then on 416, he decided after 7 months that he was going to try to work the program and stay sober. And on the top of 416, he says, I'm amazed at how many of my problems, most of which had nothing to do with drinking, I believed, had become manageable or have simply disappeared since I quit drinking. And that's true. And he doesn't add in here by working the steps and going AA and doing the deal. And then he talks that on 416 that he became convinced that alcoholism was a disease, not a moral issue. I've been involved in church and Bible study, and there's still some people, a lot of people think alcoholism is just a moral issue. But he drank as the result of a compulsion. Anybody have that? And I wasn't aware of that in the beginning. And I wasn't really aware of any of this till I read Doctor's Opinion and actually understood it. That I have a craving once I put alcohol in my body, and that sober, I can't live sober in the world without getting irritable, restless, and discontent. Anybody have that problem? Judging, fear, and then alcohol fixed that. My mind knew it would fix it, so my mind would tell me you need a drink. So when people go in the AA and then they start to drink again, they don't realize when they go to the liquor store, they're really saying, I have a spiritual illness, I'm separated from God, I'm irritable, restless, and discontent, I'm full of fear, I'm judging everything, can you give me a bottle? They don't actually say that when they buy it, but that's what's going on in the mind. And when on the way to the liquor store, they begin to feel better. Anybody feel better? Because you know the relief is coming. And so that's why willpower won't work, because right before we drink, we can only think about what it's going to do for me and not to me. And it says in the big book, right, Brian, at certain times, we cannot recall the humiliation defeat of a moment ago. We are without defense against the first drink. So when people drink again, they're not bad people, they're powerless. And that's what alcoholics do, we drink. And so he says sobriety was not a matter of willpower. And he says people in AA had something that looked better than what he had, and we hope new people will see that. But I was afraid to let go on the 416, the third paragraph. I was afraid to let go of what I had in order to try something new. That's an old idea. There was a certain sense of security in the familiar. You're dying, but we don't want to give up on our plan, right? We don't want to give up on ourselves or what we think we need, even though we're dying. And then he said, acceptance proved to be the key to my drinking problem. And he said that he'd been AA tapering off alcohol pills and not finding the program working very well. Well, why wasn't it working well? Because he wasn't working it. And he was able to say, okay, God, it is true that I, of all people, strange as may it seem, and even though I didn't give my permission, really, really am an alcoholic. Isn't that why it says the first step in recovery in the big book is that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholic? The idea that we're like normal people has to be smashed. You can't take the first step till you've conceded you're an alcoholic. And if you concede you're an alcoholic, then it's easy to admit you're powerless over it. Now, one of the things I notice is a lot of people come in new, they've been to treatment, and they don't know what makes them an alcoholic. And so we've tried to emphasize that, and I'll just say it briefly. An alcoholic can't drink. And an alcoholic can't keep from taking the first drink. And so we're powerless and we're actually screwed. And so the trigger for an alcoholic is to be awake, right? Because if we're awake, we're at risk of drinking. And because we don't have God. So the whole answer to all of this is God and a relationship with God, which a lot of people don't want to hear about. Well, that's too bad. You know, I've had people come up to me after the meeting, you talk about God too much. I said, well, that's okay. Come back whenever you want, and we'll still be talking about God, because it's all about God. Everybody in this room here today is here by the grace of God. I mean, it's a miracle that we have all these people sober. And so we need to remember that and be grateful. And he said when he began living in the answer, the top of 417, the problem went away. Now that was quoted a lot, but isn't that true? When you live in the answer, the problem goes away. And from that moment on, I've not had a single compulsion to drink. Now, they changed the pages because on 447, Mark said in the old book, everybody would quote it, that acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. And some people didn't like that. Now, I heard Dr. Paul speak, and he said, what he means here is that accepting things as they are is the answer to all my problems. So like Sandy Beach says, we don't have problems anymore when you're in AA. You have situations. You have circumstances. And how do we handle the circumstances? Hopefully differently than we did before. And that, isn't that what the Serenity Prayer is all about? That we need to know what we have to change and what we have to accept. And we need the wisdom from God to know the difference. So if I'm not accepting the situation as it is, then I see it as a problem. And then I get disturbed. Anybody ever do that? And then the problem bothers me and dominates me. And I need to see a circumstance and say, okay, this is a circumstance, God. How do I handle it? It could be something as simple as a lot of people have problems driving. I don't have problems driving. My wife says I cause problems for other people. That was a joke. Nobody laughed. I dare you. She did. Good, good, good. I am pretty funny. And then, you know, like the food store. I waited in line the other day, and I didn't even notice that I shouldn't have been bothered because I had to wait for three or four people in front of me. But those are silly things. But if you don't accept the people at work, that they are who they are, they're doing the best they can. If you don't accept your spouse as she is who she is, or your husband as he is who he is, you're going to get disturbed. And a lot of people don't like the spiritual axiom that whenever I'm disturbed, no matter what the cause, there's something wrong with me. And I've had people write me on the site and give me all sorts of examples. I had somebody talk about the amygdala, the brain, and this and that. And what they're saying in the spiritual axiom is that when I see a situation and I'm in self and I don't like it, I'm disturbed. The thing with wrong is wrong with me is I'm not seeing it with God through God's eyes. And it says on step 10, we watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, okay, I'm starting to get disturbed. I ask God at once to remove them. And I think that's true for me. I'm the only person that can make myself disturbed. Now, there are things that are, quote, disturbing. You know, somebody's breaking into your house with a gun. That's disturbing. They're not talking about that. They're talking about as we go through the day self-centered, how we get bothered and judge, and we get afraid, and we're not getting our way, and this one's not doing what I want. And so I think that's true. And he says, when I'm disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact in my life unacceptable to me. It's unacceptable. And I can find no serenity until I accept that. Situations being exactly the way it's supposed to be at this moment. And what he's saying is, it is what it is. How are we going to react to it? Remember on page 85, it says that when we're in fit spiritual condition, we react and we're in a neutral position regarding alcohol, and we're not in conflict with everybody and everything. Anybody think that's a good idea? And he says, nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. Now, a lot of people argue with that. But God's in charge of the world, right? And so we have to understand that, and that we don't want to see things as a mistake. We want to see it as it is. Now, if I say it's a mistake, then I'm judging it. Now, there are things that are obviously bad. People have written, well, what about Auschwitz and this and that? And what about these horrible things? But like someone mentioned in our meeting, we have to forgive. We have to forgive everything. And remember, there was someone who was crucified 2,000 years ago, and he said, forgive them, they know not what they do. And then I've been studying the Beatitudes, the Beatitude, get it? And it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be comforted. And isn't that what we say, forgive us as we forgive them? And so forgiveness and mercy, and we don't talk about mercy enough, I think, in AA, but mercy is the key. Am I being merciful? And when they asked Jesus, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. And they said, well, who's my neighbor? And he gives the story of the Good Samaritan. And he says, the one he had mercy. And so we need to keep that attitude. He says, until I can accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. I think that's true. In fact, until you accept your alcoholism in the first step, you're not going to work the rest of the steps. And it's a gift of desperation. We don't talk about it enough. And we're desperate because we're surrendered by our lifestyle. Anybody else have that? I mean, I was completely surrounded. I didn't wake up on February 8th and say, oh, I'm going to surrender today. No, I still had a plan. I thought I was just going to go in and die. And then at 2:30, I surrendered. Now, how'd that happen? That was a gift. The disease, it just, the guns point at me. Now, I believe that once we're surrendered, we have to take some action. And if we don't take some action, then nothing's going to change. He says, I cannot be happy unless I accept life on life's terms. Now, happiness means, I think here, content, at peace. That things happen, but I can be okay with that. Now, it says I could handle calamity with serenity on page 68. That's good, isn't it? If I stay close to God and let him demonstrate through me what he can do and humbly rely on him. Now, when my son died, that line was in my, I could see the line from the book. I was down at the bottom of the stairs. The ER called me and said, your son just died. I could see that line. It didn't mean I was happy about it or anything, but I could handle it with God. God would give me the power to handle it with serenity. And of course, he has people that he uses in AA, and all my buddies were there, and I got through it. I still am sad. I still miss him. But I'm okay with it. It is what it is. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world, as to what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. Now, this is another brilliant. I mean, this is brilliant stuff. It's so simple. I have to stop worrying what I'm going to change in the world to be okay or what they need to do and just worry about me. It's all about me. The fourth step is not about them. It's about me. How I'm seeing things wrong. How I'm not centered with God. Who makes me angry? Me. I thought it was them. Did anybody have a list of them when you came in? But it's not them. It was me. I had fear. Why did I fear? It was because me. I was relying on self. Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. And I like this. He forgot to mention that I was the chief critic. I think I was a really good critic. Anybody else good? I had excellent judgment. I knew what was wrong with everybody in the office in the hospital. I could tell you. And sometimes I would tell them even though they didn't ask me. Now, how'd that work for me? I was miserable. And until I learned to accept people as they are, they're doing the best they can. And he says, I was always able to see the flaw in every person, every situation. And I have to remember that at home. She is who she is. She's lucky. I'm lucky she puts up with me. You get it? And I was always glad to point it out because I knew you wanted perfection just as I did. Now, that's alcoholism. AA and acceptance has taught me that there's a bit of good in the worst of us and a bit of bad in the best of us, but we're all children of God, and we each have a right to be here. Now, that's beautiful. And isn't that what we say? Well, if we want to be free from anger, it says we looked at our list from a different angle. We realized that there are people we resent are spiritually ill, just like me. We forget to put that in there. And I was spiritually ill, and I made other people's resentment list. I didn't realize that for several years. Isn't that something? I said, bye. I bet I was on their list. And so we're all God's children, right? And we want to be in fellowship with each other. Remember, love and tolerance of others is our code of living. That's what it says on page 84. When I complain about me or you, I'm complaining about God's handiwork. I'm saying that I know better than God. And this is really talking about accepting people as they are. We're all human beings. It doesn't mean you excuse people's behavior, but you forgive them. Does that, you understand the difference? Some people, their behavior is really unexcusable, but I have to forgive them. I have to have mercy on them. Because the mercy, if I have mercy on them, I'm comforted by God. If I don't have mercy on them, I'm not comforted. It's a great promise in Scripture. It's in the Beatitudes, chapter 5 of Matthew. For years, I was sure the worst thing that could happen to a nice guy like me would be that I would turn out to be an alcoholic. Yeah, I never thought of that when I was young. I thought if I became a doctor, everything would be great. People would love me. I'd be okay. Now I find that being an alcoholic was great because now I can be happy just being Michael. And I can change the way I see people and I can have some peace. I never had peace before. Today I find it's the best thing that ever happened to me. This proves I don't know what's good for me. And if I don't know what's good for me, then I don't know what's good for bad for you or anyone. And that's another profound statement, but it's so true. It says when we look back, the things that happened when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have imagined. I mean, really, look at your life today. Is anybody worried about something this morning? Well, hello, we're alive. We're sober. We've got this gift of grace. And so that makes me filled with gratitude when I look back. Whenever I'm in self, you know, I just say, well, look back. Look what God's done for me that I could not do for myself. And it says, I'm better off if I don't give advice. Now, I break that. I must admit, I'm good at giving advice. Don't figure I know what's best to just accept life on life's terms that it is today, especially my own life as it actually is. I mean, this is your life. Today's today. This is where you are. Before AA, I judged myself by my intention. This was quoted a lot in the past, while the world was judging me by my actions. So I always thought my intentions were good. But they weren't, because we read in pages 60 to 63 that my intentions were always self-centered, and they were always self-seeking, and my motives were always based on self and not on serving God. He says, acceptance has been the answer to my marital problems. Anybody here have a marriage? And if you're married, you're going to have some problems. That was a joke, too. It's as though, my wife doesn't listen to this, so I don't have to worry. It's as though AA had given me a new pair of glasses. I love it. I've said this a million times. You get a new pair of glasses in AA, and they're God's glasses. And Chuck C. said a new pair of glasses in his famous weekend retreat. And what he was saying is, when I have my old pair of glasses on, I see things wrong. I'm a critic. I judge. I'm fearful. And I put on God's glasses, and things have changed. Now, he'd been married to Max for 35 years. And he said prior to the marriage, she was shy, blah, 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 blah. He saw all these fine qualities in her. And then over the years, as he thought about her, her qualities grew and grew, and we married, and all those qualities became more and more apparent to me, and they were happier and happier. But guess what? Then as he drank more and more, and his alcoholism progressed, instead of continuing to see what was good about her, I began to see her defects. Get the picture? The more I focused my mind on her defects, the more they grew and multiplied. Every defect I pointed out to her became greater and greater. Each time I told her she was nothing, she receded a little more to nowhere. The more I drank, the more she wilted. And isn't that what happens when you do your four step? You have this resentment against this person. And then you see how, as you do it, you change the way you see them. And they're not as bad as you thought they were. And in fact, what you thought they were doing wasn't even true most of the time. And it says, then one day in AA, I was told that I had the lenses in my glasses backwards. I love this. It says, the courage to change in the Serenity Prayer meant that I should change my marriage, but rather I should change myself and learn to accept my spouse as she was. Isn't that so true? We have a saying, you know, with the people I've worked with, Patty's Patty, Gail's Gail, Cindy's Cindy, you know, it's just, they are who they are. Accept it. And AA had given me a new pair of glasses. I can focus on my wife's good qualities and watch them grow and grow and grow. Now, Sandy Beach said that as he stayed in the program longer and longer, his childhood got better. And when I look back, my parents were great. And I blame mother for my insecurity or the way I was and all that. And I realized, you know, she was doing the best she could. And she was insecure. And she had issues, and we all do. And so it helps you see things. And then you let go of these resentments, these negative feelings. He could do the same thing with an AA meeting. Anybody ever been at an AA meeting where you thought there were defects in it? Anybody not? Late start, long drug logs. The worse the meeting becomes. But when I try to see what I can add to the meeting rather than what I can get out of it, and when I focus on my mind what's good about it rather than what's wrong with it, the meetings kept getting better and better. When I focus on what's good today, I have a good day. It's so simple, isn't it? And when I focus on what's bad, I have a bad day. There's so much wisdom. So you might want to read these pages on your own. If I focus on a problem, the problem increases. Anybody notice that? You can sit in your chair and decide you have a problem. And then you can spend quite a bit of time on the problem. And meanwhile, the world's going on. And you're just sitting there in your chair. If I focus on the answer increases, and it may be just accept things as they are. And how can I serve God and others? Remember, it says on 84, we resolutely turn ourselves to those we help. When you're stewing on a problem, say, okay, who can I help now? Who can I serve? And he says his wife and I, they used to argue about their feelings. And he would tell her how she should feel and do that. I think I've done that a little bit. But we deal in feelings, we tend to come to know ourselves and each other much better. He says, it hasn't been easier to work out the relationship with Max. On contrary, the hardest place to work this program has been my own home with my own children and my wife. It seems I should have learned to love my wife and family first, the newcomer to AA last. He says, but it was the other way around. Eventually, I had to redo each of the 12 steps specifically with Max in mind from the first, saying I'm powerless over alcohol and my home life is unmanageable by me. In fact, they left that out in the first step, and I think we need to rewrite the book. It says, I admit I'm powerless over alcohol, dash, that my life has become unmanageable by me. And once I realized that, I could forgive myself. I did a lot of bad, selfish things, but I realized I had the wrong manager. And I didn't know better. I'm not proud of it. But now we choose to have a different manager. And if God's managing me, then things are going to change. And if I let God manage Patty, our marriage is better. Now, I don't know about you, but I would always think of things she needed to do so she would be happier. And then I'd tell her, and that never made it better. My motives were good, right? Right? And why did I want her happier? So she would be on my case less. You see, so my motives really weren't good. So I don't do that anymore. This isn't therapy for me, but you get the picture. When I do this, we get along fine. And I wrote, love and tolerance is my code. Now, this is really, these last three paragraphs are really powerful. Perhaps the best thing of all for me is to remember that my serenity, which is what we want, is inversely proportional, that means, to my expectations. So if I have a lot of expectations, I'm going to have little serenity. So do you ever go to work and have expectations of the people at work? Have expectations of the people at home? Expectations of people on the road? Expectations of people at the food store? You get it? And so expectations are just a resentment machine. And so the higher my expectations of, so we shouldn't have expectations. We should worry about ourselves and my relationship with God rather than what everybody else is doing. The higher my expectations of Max and other people are, the lower is my serenity. It's absolutely true. I can watch my serenity level rise when I discard my expectations. Powerful. And I've gone through this I don't know how many times, but every time I read it, it's just spiritual truth. And then my rights try to move in, and they too could force my serenity level down. So I have to discard my rights, what I think I'm entitled to from other people, as well as my expectations, by asking myself, how important is it really? Isn't that a good question? How important is it really to get disturbed? Is there anything worth getting disturbed over? How important is it compared to my serenity, my emotional sobriety? And you know, in AA, we celebrate how long you've not been drinking, but we really need to celebrate emotional sobriety. And that's the key. And each day we have the opportunity to have emotional sobriety. And when I place my more value on my serenity and sobriety than on anything else, I can maintain them at a higher level. So am I focused on doing God's will? Am I carrying a vision of God's will into all my activities? How can I best serve Him? His will, not mine, be done. Remember, it says when we're agitated or doubtful, we should do what? Pause and ask God for the right thought or action. Then we're in much less danger of worry, foolish decisions, anger, screwing up the world. Acceptance is the key to my relationship with God today. I never just sit and do nothing while waiting for Him to tell me what to do. Rather, I do whatever is in front of me to be done, and I leave the results up to Him. Remember, we pray for that on page 87, that we ask God to show us through the day what we're supposed to be doing and give me the power to do it. And it says, however it turns out, that's God's will for me. And here's the key, I have to remember this. I must keep my magic magnifying mind, I have one, on my acceptance and off my expectations. So if you're disturbed today, just read these three pages and think about it. And when I remember this, I can see I've never had it so good. See, that's the thing. I want to be in an attitude of gratitude. Be grateful. Not be in the attitude of they're not doing this, or I'm not getting this, or this and this. And then he says, thank God for AA. And I wrote, I'm serene when fully, when fulfilling God's expectation. And that's how I get positive self-esteem. I wrote that a while ago. All right, I talked too long. I'm going to shut up. And now we'll open up. I hope this is helpful. Read this, study this, read it with somebody, read it with your sponsor or sponsee. Thank you.